You're listening to the E-commerce Impact Podcast, where we share the latest marketing strategies to grow your e-com store and have more impact. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. And hi again, welcome along.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So do you want to start by telling our listeners who you are and what you're working on?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, my name is Gen Furukawa. I'm co-founder of Prehook. And so Prehook is a quiz platform for e-commerce merchants. Basically, it's a software tool. We help merchants add a quiz to the store, which means that merchants can learn more about their customers, ask a few questions, what their challenges, their goals, their preferences, their interests are, capture a lead, whether an email or SMS, and then recommend a product. So the main goals of the quiz and why a merchant would want to add a quiz is to accelerate list growth, to improve conversion rate by simplifying the buying process, making it easier for a customer to get to understand what they need and how to get there. And then lastly, perhaps most importantly, is to capture customer data, which we call zero party data.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So we've been hearing a lot about quizzes over the last few years, but I think that the topic and the conversations really accelerated recently because of the changes in data privacy laws, meaning that it's harder and harder for us to capture information about users without their permission, right? Like we were used to that as marketers, just kind of secretly tracking people. And now that's not really okay. So we're looking for ways to proactively ask people to volunteer information so that we can still market to them in a good way, but with their permission. Is that kind of how you would summarize it? What else do you think has been going on and why are quizzes so important or such a great part of the marketing mix at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So I think a lot of it has to do with data privacy, consumer data privacy. So there's, of course, GDPR. There's third-party cookies being deprecated by Chrome in 2023 or 2024, meaning harder to set up remarketing ads. And then actually, perhaps most importantly, is the iOS 14.5 change, which basically means that you cannot track a user's behavior across websites, which makes targeting in and some of the analytics in ad platforms like Facebook, most notably perhaps, harder. So therefore, it's harder for a brand to run campaigns, run them profitably, and scale there. So there's all of a sudden a greater urgency and importance on helping brands build direct relationships with customers. So that really means just capturing a contact address, email or phone number, and then having that direct relationship, because that's something that's evergreen, that's an asset that you, in theory, own, and you're not going to be throttled by algorithm changes, or you're not going to be held hostage by the cost per clicks or anything else that could impact a cost per acquisition, which we've seen rise, or brands have seen rise, especially since the release of 14.5.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And definitely as an agency owner, for the last year and a half, I've been no stranger to the iOS 14 updates, and all of our clients definitely have been affected. And like a lot of the reason why the impact has been so great on brands is that data that Facebook used to have and own and use to optimize our campaigns, Facebook now doesn't have that data. So Facebook's blood supply has been cut off. So marketers like us are looking for ways to actually collect better data ourselves so that we can better market and not have to rely on Facebook's algorithm to do it for us. That's really cool. So what is zero party data exactly? Yeah. How do you define it? Because I think it gets talked about a lot, but I just want to define it for our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. So I do think it's more than just another marketing jargon term. It kind of like came about maybe 2018. Salesforce defines it as information that a customer proactively and willingly shares. So contrast that with first party data, which a lot of people have heard of. First party data is data that's tracked, but tracked passively. So that's stuff like purchases. So what your customers have purchased, what products, how much they've spent, maybe extrapolating from there where they live based on the shipping address, or could be engagement on their website, pages they've visited, activities on their website, like abandoned cart or abandoned checkout. The challenge though is that there's a lot of assumptions that go in there. Like, for example, if Jess buys a certain type of shampoo, for example, if you're the brand, you might say, oh, so Jess has this type of hair because she bought this type of shampoo. Well, we don't know that for sure, because of course it could be a gift, it could be for a household, it could be for somebody else. But the beauty of zero party data is that it is coming explicitly from the customer, so that you know for certain for certain. The really important things that can totally help change how you're positioning your marketing, how you're positioning the offers that you're sending, and kind of like ultimately the product positioning. Because as e-commerce marketers, we are, our job is to ultimately help somebody achieve their future aspirational self, like help them get from their current state, point A, to point B. And so whatever that point B is could be very different. And then how you insert your brand and product to get them there is very different. So that's why zero party data is so important, because it can totally help you on how you're educating and selling to your customers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great explanation of it. So tell me how quizzes come into it, and specifically how your tool would help people to implement a system like this into their marketing mix.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we have hundreds of brands that use a quiz, anywhere from like a skincare brand to hair care, beauty, fashion, pets, food and beverage, outdoor apparel. Really, I think anything where if you can sell the product better, if you are having an in-person conversation, then if you are just kind of like relying on the customer to do the reading, do the research of what product makes sense, and then make that final purchase decision. Mm-hmm. So really that applies to, I think, most type of brands outside of maybe single SKU brands. Where a single SKU product, a single SKU brand, it's really about kind of just getting them to check out.
But
the beauty of the quiz is to, just kind of like the equivalent of having an in-person sales associate, so that you can learn a little bit about them and then guide them to the right product. And then not only guide them to it, but explain, hey, this is why this product works for you. One really great example that I like is Helix Sleep. It's a mattress brand. So if you go to their hero image or you go to their header nav, Helix Sleep has a quiz at the center of their marketing strategy, really. This is not a pre-hook brand, but this is definitely a quiz I like, because a mattress is a very high average order value product. You're probably not going to be buying it a lot. And in some ways, it's a little bit of a commodity product. So you know, whether it's a Helix mattress or Casper or Tufted Needle or Purple or any of these other brands, Helix is kind of creating this competitive advantage by understanding some of the critical things that a consumer is making their decision based on. And so if you take the quiz as a nice example, it's five simple questions, basics like how many people is a bed for, what's their height, what's their weight, what size are they looking for? And then it gets a little bit more specific, like where are their physical pain points, what's their sleeping style, what's their preference in terms of firmness? And then you get your product recommendation with the specific like preferences on the product description page. So in that way, it's capturing the data, ingesting it, and then almost representing it in as a compelling marketing and product marketing copy on the page. And so I think that's kind of like encapsulates a lot of where the beauty of a quiz comes in improving the customer experience, simplifying the buying process, and ultimately helping improve conversion rate and drive revenue with a quiz.
Yeah. So it's like the store assistant who, you know, you walk into a store for beds and they say, you know, like, are you a back sleeper? Are you a side sleeper? They can tell by looking at you whether you're like heavier or lighter. They can see your height. They can tell a lot of stuff about you already. And they're like, then going to take you to that bed or a couple of beds that they think are right for you. Yeah, that's a great way of thinking about it, where a conversation would aid the decision. What about, can you give examples of like how, for instance, maybe fashion would use a quiz in a different way, where it's not about kind of a physical preference? It's more about taste, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. So we have some brands that use it for a fit quiz. So a fit quiz certainly makes sense. Brands like Third Love, women's lingerie brand, they've kind of innovated for women's lingerie, where part of the challenge of buying the product was finding the right fit. And it was far more of a hassle to go in person, get the measurements in person and stuff. So there's that fit quiz element. Then there's the style element. So if you look at a brand like Stitch Fix, for example, or Rockets of Awesome, these are recurring subscription brands where you're taking an kind of like an intake quiz. What are the basics? Like, what's your size? And then more granular stuff. Like, what's your, in terms of style or what you'd like, what types of things you don't like, because that's critical to that recurring e-commerce experience, because the amount of revenue that they're going to generate is directly correlated to what they add to the box. And obviously you want to add items that people love. So that's where the kind of like the style preference comes in. And then there's even for apparel brands, kind of like a gift finder type quiz. Mm-hmm. And that's also quite a helpful quiz. Now we're coming up on the holiday season, Black Friday, Cyber Monday around the corner, and then we have the holidays. So if you're buying for somebody else, you might not know what you're looking for, and then therefore, but you might know at a high level, oh, they like this style or don't like these things. Mm-hmm. And then you can recommend it. So we do have brands that use all three of those, very applicable for apparel brands.
Yeah, interesting. And how do you get a customer to complete a quiz? Because some quizzes, like, I mean, where quizzes kind of originated on the internet was like a personality quiz, find out what type of, you know, there's a curiosity to the answer. In this case, it's more about, you know, it's more sales focused. So are we being explicit about that up front, or are we doing a quiz that's going to offer them some value regardless of whether they want to make a purchase decision? But the mattress example, like the hook is, you know, get a better night's sleep, complete our quiz to find out, you know, your perfect fit. They're going to know that they're going to be sold a mattress at the end.
I think what works best, kind of like at a high level, universally applicable, is having a curiosity gap, which basically is, hey, like, do you know what is best for you? And whatever that might be, obviously you want to be a little more nuanced with the hook for your particular brand or niche, but people love to learn more about themselves. That's kind of like our human tendency, like self-discovery. Yeah. And so if we can discover what the best wine is, you know, Wink has a great quiz. Like, hey, do you know like that, the favorite wine you've never even tasted before, take our quiz and we'll tell you what it is. Or it could be, you know, something a little more tactical and useful, like a foundation finder for skincare. The value there is it's harder to understand exactly what your tone is if you're buying online. But if you go into a Sephora or a department store, you just dab it on your hand and you can figure out quickly. But a lot of it, to answer your question, I think revolves around learning about ourselves and learning the discovery. And it's premised on this notion of curiosity. And if you can kind of like get them in with this curiosity hook, and I think people are nailing it so well these days with, you know, these short form videos where you got to hook them in the first 3 seconds. Otherwise, you know, it's going to thumb endlessly. So yeah, the hook is, I think, so critical and one of the most important marketing skills of these days.
Yeah.
And it totally applies to a quiz.
Interesting. Cool. So I guess what's always bubbled around in my mind when I've thought about, like, you know, working with quizzes for our e-commerce clients and the brands that I advise is like, how complicated could this be to implement? And like, how do you go about like figuring out how many questions to have and how many different results there might be? You know, how much effort does it take to come up with a quiz that's actually gives a valuable result to the customer and, you know, helps the marketing?
Yeah, I think it starts with like understanding what you're trying to achieve with the quiz. So that's like what data points are most important. And ideally, you want to be very thoughtful and intentional with the data that you're gathering, because of course you could ask a million and one questions, but people are going to drop off. And if people are dropping off, it's a wasted effort, especially if you're using paid traffic to take the quiz. So yeah, if you can ask them, or if you can think, okay, how am I going to be using the data to create better segments in Klaviyo or Omnisend or my email service provider? Or what's most important to knowing for me to know about the customer so that I can recommend the right product? Once you start there, and then you can kind of like morph that into quiz questions. And I think the shorter the better, honestly, with a quiz. So understand like what's valuable, and then try and distill it down as much as possible. Typeform has a really interesting graph, which, as you might imagine, you know, it's completion rate over time or over questions. And as you add more questions, the completion rate will just continue to drop.
Yeah.
And often the lead capture will be at the end of the quiz. So with every person that doesn't get to that question, you're losing the opportunity to capture a lead. So it depends, but probably 5 to 7 would be like, I think that's kind of like a good number before people are just like, you know, what's in it for me at this point? Why am I taking this quiz?
Yeah. So 5 to 7 questions, and how many combinations of answers would that lead to? Like if it was a quiz where yeah, like how many different personas, I guess, would that spit out?
Well, so it depends. So that's a persona type quiz. Beard brand, which is a men's skincare, kind of like facial hair type brand. They have a personality type quiz. What beardsman are you? So that one, I think they have six different results at the end. But a lot of the quizzes, you don't need to do it as a persona type quiz. Mm. It could just be like for a recommended product. And that one is totally dynamic. So it's really like you're building it once, and then you have, depending on what the quiz responses are, any number of recommended products, but you're only needing to build one ending.
Yeah. Okay. So if it was a fashion brand, for instance, it might be size, kind of fit, and then maybe a preference towards like dresses or trousers. I'm just thinking out loud. And then the result would be, here's a recommended product, and we'll send you recommended products based on what we now know about you. And then the email will then select people, products related that fit their criteria ongoing. Is that kind of how it would work?
Yeah, exactly.
So what would be your main tips to increase the opt-in rates? We talked about the hook. Are there anything else that you would advise brands to use to increase the opt-in rate? Because there's no point doing this if people don't opt in, right?
Yeah. Great question. I think ultimately it is like the what's in it for me. Why am I taking this? And then, you know, there's an interesting stat. 83% of people are okay sharing personal data if there is some expectation of a personalized shopping experience in return. So, you know, it's like the quid pro quo of like, I'll tell you so that you can give me a personalized experience. So I think to increase the opt-in rates, you really do need to have a compelling offer in return. So that could be something about that self-discovery that we're talking about. It could be something educational, you know, if it's say, for example, their dog food and you know, the diet, you know, we can tell you what foods or whatever you need to improve your dog's joint pain or anxiety or sleeplessness or whatever it is. But that's about the customer education and offering value, establishing your expertise. And ultimately, again, this does come down to improving your own positioning as an e-commerce marketer, because one of the really interesting things is Robert Cialdini's influence. So one of the six pillars of his influence is expertise and authority. So once you can establish expertise and authority, then all of a sudden this customer looks to you as the authority, where if you can educate them, explain their problem better than they can explain it themselves, then they will buy in. They will look to you for a resolution to their problems. And what do you know? With a quiz, you've captured that, you captured their lead, and then it's on you now to kind of like build out that flow or automation to educate them specifically around their problem, which will put your product and your brand in quite the appealing light.
Yeah. Okay. And so what's the kind of MVP of setting up a quiz for an e-com? Let's say we've got an e-com brand which has a medium number of SKUs. Maybe they've got kind of like 10 to 20 SKUs. And they want to set this up, they want to try it out, they don't want to go like all singing, all dancing, but they want to have a quiz and they want to improve their marketing. Like, what would be the steps and what would be the key elements that they would put in place and need to have in place for it to be successful?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, first of all, the barrier to like a positive ROI, you know, 100 plus ROI is relatively low, thankfully. You know, this is not like a super expensive one. You can also start for free with a tool like Typeform. But yeah, to get the most out of this, I think it's understanding, like I was saying, like how are you going to use the data? And let's just say like the brand is using Klaviyo. So ideally you want it to an integration with Klaviyo or with your email service provider. Then that way, once a lead is captured, you're sending it to Klaviyo, then you're dropping them into a post-quiz flow. So you want to build out that automation. And it's very similar in theory to an abandoned cart flow. Like, hey, this is the product that we think is best for you. An abandoned cart flow is, hey, you know, we forgot about it. Maybe you want to complete checking out.
Yeah.
So you're starting there, but then you're again, kind of like using the elements of your welcome flow. Maybe you're sharing the brand founder story or the benefits of the product overall, but you understand what their recommended product is. So you can really dive deep into that, as opposed to if you're an apparel brand and you're kind of like speaking collection wide or even, you know, at a higher level, if you don't even know if it's a male or female and you're a brand like Lululemon, for example, then you're like, well, you're kind of shooting in the dark. But if you know what their recommended product is, you know what their gender is, their size, you know what they're using it for, whether it's working out at the gym or going to the office or traveling through the airport. These are things that you can use in your post-quiz flow. So I think that's also a critical component to ensuring success. And then once you kind of like test and optimize, then you want to get traffic going through it. So we have one brand called T-Lixer, which is an adaptogen brand, plant-based adaptogen brand, actually out of Australia. And, you know, adaptogens are kind of like ancient plant-based medicine, but the challenge was people didn't know which product was right for them. So think like lion's mane mushrooms or reishi mushrooms. So there was the customer education element of it, but then there was a product recommendation part. And so once they did test it out, they saw like, okay, we know what data we're using. We know what questions we want to ask. Then they really kind of went full throttle with the quiz. They added it at their header nav in their hero image on their homepage as an exit intent pop-up for when people were checking out or about to leave the site. And it has helped tremendously. It's doubled their opt-in rate from a normal pop-up. It's improved their conversion rate by 35% and improved their revenue per lead by 5x. So I think that's a testament to how they're actually using the data to improve their communications via email and SMS.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I can see that use case makes a lot of sense. We've got a brand where there's a number of options, a finite number of options, and one of the options is most likely going to suit someone. So therefore, you ask them the questions to find out which of those finite number of options is the right one. You recommend one, and then you kind of hammer them with, here's this one that you should buy. Not hammer them, but, you know, in a marketing sense, in a nice way. Yeah. What about if it's more like a brand, like more like fashion or interiors, where there's lots of products and the recommendation might not be like, here's your one product? How do you go about dealing with that kind of use case?
So it'd be kind of like a collection?
Well, so in fashion, like, yeah, the recommendation, it might not be that there's this one particular dress that's perfect for them, but it might be that, like, it's this dress, well, these three dresses, and then also these t-shirts, but they fit their criteria in terms of size, in terms of color, in terms of style that they generally go for. Like, is there a way to use a quiz to put them into groups, I guess, that then get sent only those types of products that they've selected? Or is that kind of beyond the capability of a basic setup, do you think?
Yeah, totally.
That require extra coding or?
No, you totally can. And we can get in the weeds in terms of like how you'd set it up, but you'd use the quiz data from Prehook comes through to Klaviyo as a custom property. So, you know, that's like, okay, Jess likes the color red. She likes, you know, brown pants and her leg length is 32 or whatever. So you would send that through. Then you can build segments in Klaviyo around those properties. So if it is based on color or type or size, everybody in that segment would be served relevant content or offers. So you can do that. You can also kind of like have dynamic blocks. That's more about specific products though, where you can dynamically insert this specific product based on the quiz response, because that also gets sent through from Prehook's quiz to your contact in Klaviyo.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's powerful, isn't it? And you could start simple where it was just size or, you know, dresses versus pants kind of thing, pants or trousers, as we say in the UK. But then you could, over time, as your data improved, you could make those segments more specific, couldn't you? And then, you know, you could have 20 different segments of types of people and they're getting a slightly different version of the email with different things pulled in based on the criteria. I think that's super, super powerful. So in terms of using Prehook, because it sounds like a pretty easy to use and good tool for getting started, like what's the process like and how much time would a brand need to dedicate to setting up a project like this? And could they do it on their own? Would they need a consultant? How does it all work?
Yeah. So when we were building the tool, like we really focused on not requiring technical expertise or a technical team. No dev skills needed. You know, in terms of time, it could take, you know, less than an hour. But again, it's kind of like a fully to build out. But then, of course, you're optimizing it. You might want to build out a landing page. If you're running paid ads to it, you might want to do your like paid side. And then you want to do your post-quiz flow. with the emails and SMS. So that, like, that of course takes longer, but like the quiz itself is relatively quick, can be relatively quick. Of course, you can get more granular with like conditional logic where like you're sending people down different paths depending on what their quiz responses are, but it's very quick. And then, you know, I'm a co-founder, but it's really like my priority and my passion to make sure that people are seeing the value out of the product and using it as we intended, as we were building it. So I'm always accessible in the onboarding emails and in, you know, intercom chat widget and so for video calls, email and stuff. So I like to think that we're different in that sense. Like there is no account management needed or any of those additional services needed. Like basically, you know, I'm there to help. So anybody, you know, if you're listening and you want to give it a test, feel free to reach out again, gen@prehook.com. Happy to help build it out for you, set it up or share some ideas and thoughts.
Amazing. That's so great. And you don't often get that from like a SaaS business these days. So that's awesome. Okay. So yeah, so it's just the time to create the quiz, think about the questions, and then you're building out the integration. So you'd have to either have a team that was pretty au fait with Klaviyo or be working with an agency that could help set up the segments and figure out what the flows might look like for the individual personas that get developed. Yeah. And then also, I guess, I imagine the lists that you're able to create or the segments you're able to create could then link to your Facebook or TikTok ad campaigns or Google.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be targeting people with certain products based on their profile, which is so awesome and so powerful.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's done through the segments, is it? You create a segment based on a rule, and then that segment can then be shared as a custom audience with Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So you mentioned a pretty cool case study of an increasing conversion rate. What could the typical brand expect to see from implementing a system like this if they set it up well and thought it through properly?
Yeah, I like to think that you see like a decreased cost per lead, where if you think, okay, like the opt-in rate of a standard opt-in, kind of like, hey, join our club or get 15% off, we'll email to you, is about 2%. And then that's from sumo.com over like millions of data points. We're seeing quizzes that will be completed at say 50, 60, 70% of somebody who starts a quiz will complete a quiz. And so not only are you getting the contact information, but you're also getting so much more information than just the email, because an email without any additional context is valuable, of course, but it's not as valuable because there's not as much that you can act on there. So I think if you do back of the envelope math, you're going to see a far higher opt-in rate. So once you can nail what your hook is, the value that you're going to offer, it makes a lot of sense to try and get people into the quiz. But I think the most important thing is like, yeah, you should just validate and test it. You know, maybe it doesn't make sense for you, or maybe you're not getting the questions right, or maybe it's not ideal for the type of brand or your type of customer. But I think it definitely merits a test for the leads, how you're actually using the data, and then the quiz revenue, the revenue that a quiz has helped generate, which is a metric that I think is one of the more interesting ones that we have in Prehook to see, okay, like how much is this actually contributing to top line revenue? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're pretty excited to see the results of some of the brands that are using a Prehook quiz.
Amazing. Cool. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience? Any advice for kind of navigating the crazy landscape of e-commerce at the moment?
Yeah. You know, I think people say start building your email list yesterday. You know, I think that is absolutely true. But I would say, like, you know, 1A or the asterisk there is that they should also capture as much data with that email as possible. So Klaviyo, for example, offers multi-step forms, basically like not with your email address, you can check a box. Like, for example, are you male or female? Or are you like drinking red wine or white wine or whatever it is? Even that is like a good first step, but to add more context to the contact that you're creating is really critical. So yes, build your list, but then also try and capture some data along with that list, with that contact.
Amazing. Where can we follow you, find you? What's the best social platform to keep in touch with you and the developments at Prehook?
Yeah, I think feel free again, email gen@prehook.com. Twitter is just Gen Furukawa. LinkedIn is just Gen Furukawa. Yeah, feel free. I'll definitely connect with you there.
Perfect. Thanks for coming along, Gen.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. This is great.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the E-commerce Impact Podcast. If I can ask you one favor, can you please make sure you subscribe, and if you can, leave us a review. It helps us have a much bigger impact with what we're trying to do here at the E-commerce Impact Podcast. Now, if you're ready to take your e-com store to the next level, then go to www.ecommerceimpactpodcast.com and click on the button to book a strategy call with me or my team. We offer a free order of your advertising and a custom growth plan, so you really have nothing to lose by getting in touch and jumping on a call with us. See you soon, and watch out for the next episode in 2 weeks' time.